What's up, lovely people? Let's get our energy up, 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 and make this a terrific Tuesday. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Tomorrow's hashtag Your Word Wednesday, where we use your word in the show to help boost our vocabulary. So submit those words in the comment section of my most recent post at Coy Wire on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, along with the definition, your school name, your name, the city, state, teacher's name, if you like, rise up. Let's start in South Carolina, where former President Donald Trump won the Republican primary on Saturday. Trump triumphed with nearly 60% of the vote. He has now swept every 2024 GOP nominating contest so far and is quickly closing in on clinching the Republican nomination ahead of November's presidential election. After this series of decisive wins, Trump is optimistic.
I have never seen the Republican Party so unified as it is right now.
Meanwhile, the former president's Republican rival, Nikki Haley, is vowing to stay in the race despite the losses, including this South Carolina race, which is her home state, where she served as governor for 6 years until 2017. Haley says she's committed until Super Tuesday. That's March 5th. It's a hugely important presidential primary election day with more states voting than any other date. 15 states, one territory in all. Haley says she doesn't believe Trump can beat President Joe Biden in the November general election.
Nearly every day, Trump drives people away.
For more on what these latest events mean for the former president's campaign strategy going forward, here's our Kristen Holmes.
I've been talking to a lot of Trump's campaign advisors this morning, and they say it is time to move on to the general election, regardless of whether or not Nikki Haley is still in the race. Four resounding primary wins, every contest on the horizon, Trump is favored in, and they believe that they need to have a campaign reset ahead of November to start looking towards that general election. Now, to be very clear, this is not a Donald Trump pivot. He's not going to stop his messaging. He's not going to stop being who he is. And his campaign is very aware of the candidate that they have. This is about campaign infrastructure and about strategy. They want to build out their operations in critical battleground states. We're talking about Michigan, Arizona, Georgia. They also want to shift their messaging away from primary messaging and towards President Joe Biden. Now, you saw some of that shift in messaging from the former president himself in his speech when he didn't mention Nikki Haley once. But I am going to put forward a very important caveat, which was talking to Trump's senior advisors. They know that they cannot control if he does that again. They are trying to keep him on message. They are telling him it's important to focus on President Joe Biden. But again, they can't control what he says, and he's going to say what he feels and what he thinks. Now, in addition to all of that, we did see in the election last night, there were some warning signs for Donald Trump in a 2024 general election rematch with President Biden, particularly among independent voters. His team knows that. His team knows that he is a very polarizing figure, and that is part of the reason why they believe it is important for them to start shifting towards that general election, to start going through that data, to start coming up with a game plan to take on Joe Biden before November.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Who is the only president to leave the White House and return for a second term 4 years later? Thomas Jefferson, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Grover Cleveland, or George H.W. Bush? If you said Grover Cleveland, put your hands up. He served as the 22nd and 24th president of the United States. After losing his first re-election campaign to Benjamin Harrison, he returned to defeat him in a rematch 4 years later. Next up, Saturday marked 2 years since Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, serving as the impetus to this ongoing war. And now the Ukrainian military says it does not have enough ammunition or money, and it's calling on the United States to help them further. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told CNN that millions of people could die if U.S. lawmakers don't approve more aid. President Joe Biden says continuing to support Ukraine is important, and it's a matter of national security both abroad and in the U.S. He will host a meeting with the top four congressional leaders, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker Mike Johnson, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries to discuss. Johnson has been resistant to sending further aid without addressing U.S. border security more thoroughly. The Biden administration and U.S. Congress have already directed approximately $75 billion worth of humanitarian, financial, and military aid to Ukraine. Our Christiane Amanpour shows us now what life looks like in three Ukrainian cities as this war drags on.
This bookstore is called Sens, or The Meaning, and opening in Kyiv just days before the Russian war enters a third year sends a clear message. And Ukraine's greatest living novelist Andrei Kurkov tells us there is much to say about Ukraine's culture, identity, and resistance. He wrote the foreword for this tome full of 12th century artifacts.
So when Putin says this is all Greater Russia, what's your answer?
Well, he's silly, and he's not historian. Kyiv is 1,540 years old. Moscow is only 870 years old.
Ukrainian identity helps them fight and resist, says Kurkov, reminding us that Russians have looted and destroyed libraries, theaters, and museums in parts they now occupy. Kurkov, like most Ukrainians, see themselves, their land, as the front line between the authoritarian and the democratic worlds. Kyiv is further away from the fighting, but over in the northeast, Kharkiv, the second largest city, the danger is real and ever present. Some 40 miles from the Russia border, their massive S-300 missiles reach the city in less than 40 seconds, no time to hide. Memorials to the recent dead spring up all over. This Kharkiv radio station is called Boiling Over. It started up 10 years ago after Russia's first invasion as an alternate voice. Natalia, the radio host, tells us it's also become a sounding board for the terrified and depressed Kharkiv listeners. Feedback can be varied, she tells us. Sometimes they just thank me for the show and for the fact that they got out of bed thanks to the program. And I consider this a victory because it could be someone in a state of absolute despair. Lichakiv Cemetery in the western city of Lviv is like cemeteries all over Ukraine today.
2 years ago, this was a grass field. Today, it's a field of flags and the graves of those who've fallen defending this country.
A woman seems to be talking to her fallen loved one. And this widow, Natalia, moves in for a kiss. Her husband, who had volunteered for the Eastern Front, was killed just shy of his 30th birthday. I'm proud of my husband because his sacrifice is worth a lot, says Natalia.
On this two-year anniversary, families are asking whether Ukraine can continue leaving it up to their volunteers or whether there needs to be a call-up to mobilize for the front.
Natalia agrees. Yes, definitely, she says, because if we don't defend ourselves, what kind of fate awaits us next? And if we don't defend our lands, Russia will be here soon. And that's the point. Starting a third year of full-scale war against the Russian invasion, they are heavily outmanned, and vital weapons and ammunition for their fight are tangled up in Washington's political gridlock.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a new species of animal in Japan. And you know what? I was today years old when I learned that scientists discover about 18,000 new plant and animal species each year. But this one, very cool. The skeleton panda sea squirt, officially recognized, even though appendedly it was first seen years ago.
This is one of Japan's newest species, the skeleton panda sea squirt. The distinctive sea squirt first caught the attention of a researcher in
2018.
This is the first time scientists have studied the tiny sea creature, which can measure up to 2 centimeters long, which is less than an inch.
All right, shout out time now. This one goes to the Thunderbirds at Zia Middle School, bringing the thunder from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Let's go. And this shout out goes to the sensational stingrays of Sumner High School in Riverview, Florida. Officially awesome. Remember, hashtag Your Word Wednesday tomorrow. Submit those vocab words at Koi Wire on social. See you tomorrow, lovely people. Rise up.